let's move on now and look at NLP. Because, like, I don't think I've had any difficulty actually trying to explain to anybody what it is. It ain't actually very easy trying to explain what NLP actually is. So I've got a couple of definitions for you from the tapes, and this is used throughout NLP. The first set of definitions is it's an attitude. And it's an attitude that is one of curiosity. But not just any old curiosity, wanton curiosity. And wanton experimentation. As in the desire for you to experiment as much as possible, just to see what works. People who've crewed with me before will know that I'm always experimenting with new things. I very rarely do the same event twice, and even if I plan to, somehow my unconscious mind will create it differently anyway. So I'm always experimenting with new things. The business that I'm in right now, I use NLP every day. I'm always changing our approach. And we've got to the point now where we're now, you know, really, really making a difference. Act as if you know what the hell you're doing, even though you don't. And that's very important. Some people have a challenge with that because they think they're faking it for whatever. But the truth is, you cannot achieve something unless you first manifest it here first. You have to first install it in you so it's real. Now, before I'd done any seminars or trainings, every time I spoke to somebody, I spoke to them as if I'd already done them many, many times. Because I had, in my head. So they'd say to me, well, how many of these do you do a year then? Well, I haven't done them yet. I say, oh, right. And they're like genuinely shocked and surprised. I'm starting in October, I used to say. Oh, that's when I'm start first doing the first one, for example. And they'd be shocked and surprised because... And then when I actually delivered the seminar, I remember the first one I ever did, which was in... We did it in Hythe. The first ever FYD was done in Hythe on the Kent coast, because my whole belief was at that time was make it somewhere away from everybody else so they can't go home. It's all away and they can all connect and stuff. That didn't work very well because it needed to be accessible for people. So that's another learning. And at the end of the course, like when I said to people, like, by the way, just to let you know, this is the first one of these I ever did, everyone fell about laughing. They couldn't work it out. Because in my mind, you see, I'd done it so often, it was that good in my head, it was that good when I delivered it. So this attitude of acting as if you feel certain about something, even though you don't, is critical to being successful and critical to your skills in NLP. Because look, there's going to be times this week, and there's going to be time for me, and there's going to be times this week for you, where at some point, and certainly in the future for you as well, where you're going to come across a client, whether it's a business relationship or whether it's because it's a real therapeutic or a coaching environment, you're going to come across a situation where you're going to go to say to yourself, shit, I have no damn clue where I'm going with this and what I'm going to do. Now, if you send that message out to your client, that's a mistake, firstly, because you're not going to get the result you want. But if you give that message to yourself at the same time, again, you're not going to find the results. You've got that stage going to act as if, okay, great, so let's pretend I know. What would happen? Like, I'll do this for some people sometimes. Let's say you have a problem, right? And I've given this instruction to people before in my coaching sessions. They have a problem. I say, okay, great. We do lots of change work. I say, okay, here's what else I want you to do. For the next 12 days, I want you to pretend. I want you to act as if your problem's gone. Just pretend. Pretend you don't have it. Pretend it's gone completely and it's disappeared. And the moment... you can't hold on to the pretense any longer. I want you to write down where you are, who you're with, and what your reason is for not being able to keep up the pretense. What do you think normally happens? You never hear from again. Because the problem's gone away. If you pretend it's gone away, has it gone? Of course it has. It can go. Because you pretend you have it in the first place. Problems don't really exist. You just manifest them to make it so. So that's some of the crazy stuff we'll start teaching you at the master trainer level, master practitioner level. So that's the attitude. Then the methodology, of course, is the NLP techniques themselves, or really beyond the techniques is what created the techniques, which was initially was the modeling that was done by the two originators of NLP, Richard Bandler and John Grinder. And they modeled basically some really outstanding people in the field of therapy, and they modeled them by their physiology. They modeled the things they did with their body. They modeled their filters, which we break that down basically is their beliefs, values, metaprograms, things like that. They modeled those things, and they modeled their strategies, how they produce those results. And then by installing that model in themselves, they were then able to produce the same results as that outstanding person, that outstanding therapist, even though that therapist has spent 10, 20 years building up those repertoire of skills. They could redo and remodel them, produce that in a much, much smaller time frame of a matter of weeks to produce the same results. And the outcome of that is the techniques of NLP that we know today that we're going to be studying here over the next 6 days. And the modeling, by the way, comes from the three people they modeled really was, the first person they modeled was Virginia Satir, who is an excellent family therapist. She has a couple of books out that I'd recommend you reading. One is called People Making, if you're interested in learning more about her particular study. And she's a family therapist, just one second, she's a family therapist, and she would heal whole families. So she would have like a whole, like, 10 people in front of you, which is great because you don't have to work out what the dynamic is. You can see it. It's all there in front of you, interacting with it. And she would have, she found out that these people weren't communicating very effectively because they were, had all these deletions, distortions, and generalizations in their language. You had a question? And she has another book out called Conjoint Family Therapy, which is a more sort of technical book that talks more in depth about the actual techniques that she uses, or used, because she's not around anymore, she's died. Okay. And then the second person they modeled was Milton Erickson. There's lots of stories about Erickson, but actually Bandler and Grindler never actually met him. They met him once, actually. But Bandler and Erickson didn't get on at all. In fact, very few people get on with Bandler anyway, but they didn't like each other very much. So they actually modeled him from videos and tapes and books and stuff like that. That's where they modeled him from, and that's where the Milton model comes from. And they also modeled Fritz Perls, who is the originator of Gestalt therapy. And so that's where all these methodology and techniques all come from those original studies. And they've also been developed a lot since then. And I'll be teaching some stuff that I developed myself and that other people have developed that I recognize. There's some more sort of Tony stuff in here I'm going to put in for you as well to really help you to understand, I think, NLP at a much deeper level than certainly I learned it at. Okay, good. So we need to understand that all learning, all behavior, all change is unconscious. What I mean by that is, if we want to create, if somebody has a challenge with their particular behavior, where do we need to go to make a change in that person's behavior? Their unconscious mind. Because that's where the behavior is being generated from. It's being generated from the unconscious mind. And therefore, when we're learning, we also want to learn at the same time in an unconscious state. It's best if you're learning unconsciously. So therefore, all change happens at the unconscious level as well. So I'm going to leave the coaches for this in a few moments. But in a few moments, I want to give you a little tip now on how you can learn at the unconscious level for the rest of this event, okay? So you assimilate this stuff at the unconscious level. Now, we're actually doing teaching the conscious and the unconscious at the same time. What we're looking to do is teach the conscious and the unconscious mind. There are some trainings, McKenna's training specifically, McKenna, Bandler, and Breen, their training is all at the unconscious level, completely unconscious. Which means that at the end of it, you have no fucking clue what you know. It's all there in your unconscious mind. At least that's what they tell you. Which is a good way of saying, you know, if you haven't got it, you're stupid. So nobody really says anything, you see. So I didn't like that. So my training, I went and learnt from people who teach both the conscious and the unconscious mind, which means it's stored in your unconscious and you know why it's there and where it is and how you can access it. So we're going to teach both simultaneously at the same time. And let me give you a technique that you can use that will enable you to learn this all at the unconscious level. So what I'd like you to do is I'd like you to find a spot that you can look at comfortably. So I'd recommend this one up here. See that at the top of the pole? What I'd like you to do is I'd like you to focus your attention completely on that one spot, so that your eyes stay completely on that one spot the whole time. And as you look at that spot, continue looking at that spot the whole time, what I'd like you to do is to begin to expand your awarenesses out into the periphery, out into the sides. So you can begin to, even though you'll keep looking at the spot, you can begin to notice me walking around in your peripheral vision, walking around on stage. You can notice the screen off to the left. Even though you keep looking at the spot, you can notice these things. You can notice the lectern, my chair, the speakers, the lights, the stage, and all the things around you. Just begin to expand your awareness out into the periphery, out into the side. And the thing about when you're in this peripheral vision, what's happened is your unconscious mind is now open like a trap door. You're in a state of auto-suggestion, and you become highly aware of movements, any subtle movements that might happen. So as you stay looking at that spot, you notice that some of the coaches around the edge of the room, and even the ones behind you, you can begin to tune in now to those feelings. Now, begin to see if you can wrap your awareness all the way behind you. Now, I'm not suggesting that you'll be able to see behind you, but you can at least become aware of what's happening behind you. Maybe the sounds, or just the feeling, or an intuitive feeling of what's going on behind you even. Wrap it right around your awareness. Some people like to imagine a tennis ball hovering just above the back of your head, and that helps them focus their attention. That's it. And notice how, as you're in this state, how it's almost impossible for you to feel any level of fear when you're in this state. Try hard now in vain as you stay in this state to find anything, any problem you can hang on to in this state. You might be surprised to find that you cannot. Because the unconscious mind doesn't hold any fear. It's all held in your conscious mind. All answers are held in the unconscious. So in a few moments, when I say, I want you to stay in this state. And as you stay in this state, all you're going to do is drop your eyes down onto the presenter. Now. And stay in this state. So dropping your eyes down back onto me, perhaps now, you can still become aware of the periphery, still stay in that open state. And this will allow all of the learning to happen at the unconscious level for you, so that you don't have to use your critical faculty to filter in information out. It could just seep into your unconscious easily and effortlessly without any challenges from your conscious mind. Okay, thank you, coaches. Very nice. Very good.